All right, welcome back. Mitchell Henderson joins us this hour. He has contributed mightily to this program and to our baseline knowledge of what's happening in the world around us and in the country around us. And I'm not sure whose country it is anymore, to be frank. It's turning into what they, the elite, or whoever they are, want it to turn into, and that's heading toward, I'm not just talking about financially, but socially, in terms of media. It's all turning into garbage, hellish gray goo. Mitchell, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Good to be back.
You have an unimpeachable ability to look at things as they really are, and you present that information here. And I know a lot of people are very grateful, so I want to pass that along to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I actually put a lot of work into digging this information up. What I want to talk about tonight is a little bit of a situation update on World War III, and then I want to talk about nuclear war so people won't be so afraid of it. Okay.
Good.
So,
that'd be interesting.
We're drifting towards World War III. It's events and actors are lining up to execute this war. They have painted the U.S. into a box so that the USA has few options. They are trying to kick us out of the lineup for the war, basically attempting to limit U.S. action and stop the U.S. from interfering in the war. Okay, so let me run down some new events. So Major General Tel Common of the IDF said this weekend that the balance of power has shifted, in 2020, and Israel has been massing troops, training troops hard, and upgrading its air defenses. They can fight Iran and Iran, the Gaza Strip, and Lebanon. They're ready for everything. They can do war in 2021 and intend to do it in light of the Iranian trade deals with Russia and China that makes the sanctions on Iran rather mute. Okay.
Right.
I'll get into these deals. So.
Quick question, if I might. Now, with your military background, and we watched the Israelis fight their last war, and they got their butts kicked with Cold War anti-tank weapons and other things, and there was a lot of questioning about the resolve of the average American Israeli, I get sometimes laughably confused because they're all dual citizens, about the average Israeli soldier and their will to put their lives on the line. They didn't seem to have that kind of bravery that a lot of people would expect. They've had it too good over there. They get soft. True?
Well, yes, that's true. Also, you have to realize that the political correctness and all that kind of stuff that has seeped into our military has seeped into theirs also.
Mm.
Okay, they are in this mindset of fighting a humane war. Okay, well, which that is an oxymoron. I assure
sure
you, there is nothing whatsoever humane about any war ever. Okay, and for politicians to say the very concept of humane war is actually suicidal on the part of the troops that they send into action, okay, because they will accomplish nothing,
right.
Okay?
Okay.
War is inherently inhumane,
right.
Okay?
Right.
So remember when Putin painted Biden into this box, he went to Israel and he went to the Arab countries. He sent Sergey Lavrov to the Arab countries and stuff. And they said, okay, we're going to tell the United States they cannot get involved in the war with Iran. If they do, we're going to declare war on the United States if the United States attacks Iran. But if you guys fight Iran, that's none of our business. Well, China did, and Russia signed a trade deal with them to just open trade altogether with Iran, okay, just about the United States and their sanctions. So China, just this weekend, signed a 25-year alliance with Iran, and if the United States attacks Iran, China will declare war on the United States. Okay?
Was that in,
so now
I didn't
Iran
see,
has
Mitch,
two nuclear powers protecting them.
Yeah, okay, hold on. I didn't see that in that 25-year. I thought it was just a trade deal, but it was a military reciprocity in there. That's what you're saying.
It's a comprehensive deal. It's comprehensive.
Wow.
It includes trade. It includes, Iran is vital to China's survival. So, of course, they have to protect Iran to protect their oil.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that changes everything.
It's the only place they get oil.
Yeah.
And what did China do? It sent out people to Israel and to the Sunni Arab countries and said, listen, if you go to war with Iran, that's your business. But if the United States gets involved, then we're involved. Okay, so,
wow.
But you know what? The Arabs and the Israelis have not made a big fuss about the United States not being involved in the war because they are convinced that the United States would be like a ball and chain around their neck, preventing them from fighting a real war. They really don't want us involved.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they think they can handle Iran without us. And they're right. They're probably very right on that point. Okay, another thing to keep in mind is even though India is involved in this big alliance. Okay, India is against China and will fight China, but India is not interested in fighting Iran because they don't have bad relations with Iran. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They get oil from Iran, so they will sit that out too if it's isolated from the Middle East. Okay, but they will sink Chinese shipping if they're trying to bring oil across and stuff. So. Okay, so let me see. So Iran says that the U.S. forces must leave Syria. They said this yesterday, or it will be understood as a U.S. intervention in a war against Iran that could spark a declaration of war on the USA by Russia. And Iran has now painted Biden into a box. You see this very stupid man, this demented man, who runs our country, he's being punked. He's being bullied by these people. They're just playing him like he's an ignorant dolt. Well, he is, but
right, not
they're
too far
playing
off
him
tomorrow.
As he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. This is telling. The United Kingdom has put its nuclear arsenal on standby to launch a nuclear attack against China. Now, their nuclear weapons are all on submarines, all the long-range missiles and stuff, okay?
Well, wait a minute. I missed that, Mitch. Your phone line is not as crisp as it usually is. Who is involved with this now? China and who else?
The United Kingdom has...
The UK. Okay, you said United Kingdom. I got it.
United Kingdom has put their nuclear arsenal on standby to launch a nuclear attack on China. The United Kingdom has put South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, Malaysia, Brunei, and Vietnam under the nuclear umbrella, under their nuclear umbrella, because none of those nations trust the United States. The United Kingdom has formed a direct military alliance with South Korea, Japan, and Malaysia. Boris Johnson just painted Chairman Xi into a box. So Boris Johnson of the United Kingdom can stand up to China, but Biden cannot. Okay. The RAND Corporation, which is the United States military's foremost strategic think tank, has been running a series of war games over Taiwan over the past few years and concluded that China would absolutely win a war over Taiwan and the U.S. There's nothing we could do. They're going to win. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even outgoing Admiral Davidson of the Indo-Pacific Fleet says that China will win against the U.S. and Taiwan. The current admiral in charge of that fleet says the same thing. Davidson said, we're looking at war in 6 years. But the new guy says, we're looking at war in less than 2 years. Okay. And you know, when Americans make predictions, they're super conservative. Okay. So if they say 2 years, you better look out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the Philippines has started patrolling over the Chinese flotilla that has massed inside the exclusive economic zone, and the Chinese and told the Chinese that if they didn't move them out soon, they will start sinking their ships with aircraft.
Those are fishing ships. Those are Chinese
right.
fishing boats.
A couple hundred of them,
I guess. Yeah.
200.
Right.
And they're in Philippine waters. They got to leave. The Chinese say, oh, they're sheltering from a storm. Well, there's no storm.
Oh, yeah.
Down. The storm
right.
will be when the Philippines starts strafing them from the air. Okay. Now, that's a trap because now, the Philippines is under the United Kingdom nuclear umbrella instead of the United States. Well, they're still under the United States nuclear umbrella, but the United States will not do anything to protect them. Okay. Once the Philippines opens up a fire on them, that could probably start a war in itself. Chairman Xi said in a statement this weekend that the United States of America does not scare China. China can win. Friday, China's People's Liberation Air Force flew its largest air intrusion over the Taiwanese island. The Taiwanese president warned China to stop because next time they will start shooting down Chinese aircraft flying in their air defense identification zone. So we're getting closer to pulling that trigger any day. Okay. The Russian hypersonic nuclear missiles can strike the USA in minutes, not the 30 minutes of the ICBM era. We used to have, for an ICBM to go from Russia to the United States, it took 30 minutes. Now it can take just a couple minutes for them to hit. There's not enough warning. Nobody can run, okay? Yeah, if you're in the target area. But of course, they don't target every place. Notice also that Egypt hired a Dutch dredging company to get the ship unstuck that was blocking the Suez Canal, which they successfully did today. Biden offered them the most state-of-the-art, experienced, and equipped U.S. Navy team to do it three times, and all three times, Egypt didn't even get it bothered to give an answer to the United States. That's how much
what respect
they have for us now. Okay?
Yeah. Wow.
We have a major credibility problem, and it's the Democrat Marxists who love power above all else. Will they impulsively intervene, even if asked, to regain its power on the world stage? I can see them doing that. And we're looking at nuclear war. They're just going to have to do it because they can't stand to not be in total control of every aspect of every person's life. Okay? That's their goal. They're not going to settle for anything less. They'll do any stupid thing, any underhanded, illegal thing to accomplish that goal. Okay? So, now Biden has said, well, you know, we might lift the sanctions on Iran if they'll renegotiate the deal. You know, how incredibly stupid could this man be? You know, it's like they're playing him like a fiddle, an old, worn-out fiddle. Okay.
You know, I forget who it was, Mitch, that said that, oh, it was Bartiromo, the Fox News host. She said she has it confirmed now that Biden is on the phone every day with Obama taking instructions. Instructions. But this is the Biden / Obama. It's Obama 3.0, and he's running it. Yes. There's no doubt. Susan Rice, Samantha Power. This is the same Marxists that were in for 8 years, and they're right back at it.
That's true. And we're about to see the fruits of all their labor. Okay, it would be bad for us. The situation is building towards World War III. Expect it to escalate as it has been. However, the best time to expect an attack is when things appear to be cooling off a little bit. It is a principle of war that you want to pick the time and place of battle. That is what the silence is about. Every military unit goes silent before an attack. It is just how things are done. But the situation may spiral out of control. For example, a Japanese firing on a Chinese Navy or Coast Guard ships, Taiwan shooting down PLAF aircraft, the Philippines striking boats by air attack, Israel and the Saudi Arabian nations launching a war on Iran. Anything like this could happen any day and spiral out of control and start World War III. Okay. So since we're going to be facing this World War III, it's good if you understand what nuclear war is. Okay. Just as climate change is a belief and a faith rooted in the less observable facts than any religion is, so the myth of a nuclear winter and nuclear war exterminating mankind is also a belief and a faith, not based on any facts at all. Started by a Zionist military strategist named Herman Kahn in the 1950s, he's responsible for our nuclear strategy. He built it, okay, and it's pathetic. In our nuclear strategy, we hit no population centers, and if there's a military base next to a population center, we won't strike it. This is humane warfare. I guess we'll be nuking polar bears in the Arctic or brown bears in Siberia or something. I don't know what we're going to hit if we're not going to hit their population centers, because they're going to hit us. As the Chinese and the Russians will strike our population centers. They know our strategy. It's published. They know it. They know that we're not going to hit their cities. So what do they have to fear? Okay.
Right.
So these are all lies intended to scare everyone, just like climate change was supposed to, like 9/11 was supposed to, like coronavirus was supposed to, and like the 1/6 white supremacist domestic terror is supposed to scare people. Our government has foisted all of these lies upon the American people consistently throughout time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To be safe, just to accept everything that the government or mainstream media tells you is a lie. It would be better if you researched and found out almost everything that you have ever been told is a lie. It's the truth that sets you free. Lies enslave you. They've lied to you your whole life. They want you to be a slave. Okay. In my book, A Man Beyond His Mission by Mitchell Henderson, available on Amazon, I tell you the truth from lived experience about culture, our justice system, our military, our police, and our government. I wrote it to open people's eyes.
Right.
I even explained nuclear war in my book. Okay. So let me start out with nuclear war, talking about the two types of bombs.
Okay,
Mitch,
do me a favor. Speak a little bit more slowly. The line is a little bit muddy. It's not bad, but I just want people to be able to hear every word clearly. So just turn down about 10-15% in your rate of speech, and I think it'll be a little more clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's like I've got a race here.
Yeah.
So, okay. So there's two types of nuclear weapons, plutonium weapons and uranium weapons. And it's very important to understand the difference between the two. Okay. They're both difficult to make. In the uranium case, it's very difficult to get enough U-235 through the centrifuges and stuff to create a critical mass, which is 13 kilograms of U-235. And all you have to do is take one subcritical mass and another subcritical mass and slam them together and you have a nuclear explosion. So you could have like subcritical mass and a ball and have a lead pipe a meter long and with a plug of the rest of the critical mass sitting at the end of the pipe, and you can use this gunpowder behind it to fire that plug into it and create a nuclear explosion. So it takes a lot of skill to make U-235, but an idiot can make it blow up. Okay. So that's the first thing. The plutonium bomb requires a lot of technical skill. It is a round ball with an empty core that you implode the core, and that's how you get to the critical mass for a chain reaction. In that core, they can inject tritium gas, which will amplify the nuclear explosion. The problem with uranium is you can only make a bomb like 5 to 10 kilotons max. with plutonium, if by injecting tritium into the core, you can create explosions of up to 100 megatons. Okay, that's like
that's big.
It's like 200 times. Not 200. Almost. If he had, it's like 1,000 times stronger than the bomb that hit Hiroshima. Okay, so.
Right.
And the importance of this difference is this, okay? When you want to put a bomb on a missile and throw it across a vast distance to hit an enemy, you need to reduce the weight. So the tritium in a plutonium core makes you have a big yield with a small weight. So plutonium
right.
bombs are used militarily. The only reason why anybody would ever produce a U-235 bomb is for terrorist purposes. You make the U-235 and you let it get assembled in a city that you're going to attack, and nobody can stop it because and any idiot can put it together. Okay. Maybe even Joe Biden
okay.
can put one together.
Oh, I don't think we should go that far. All right. Hold on a minute and we'll come right back. Biden. I don't think Biden can put his own pants on anymore. All right, back in a minute after this. Okay, welcome back. As most of you know, Joel Skousen feels that Russia is the enemy and will be the first to go to war with the U.S. And he's saying within 10 years. I think we're on a much shorter fuse basis on multiple venues than 10 years. That's just my view. We have a lot to be concerned about. The Deagle.com forecast makes a lot of sense now that we have the mechanism by which this country's population could be reduced to 99 million simply with the vaccine and whatever they're putting into people through the nose swabs and the face masks and chemtrails and other issues. So we can be culled anytime, and I think the big cull is underway here. As far as a nuclear culling of the American populace, that would be very interesting. The Deagle.com forecast does not show any of our prime adversaries losing a substantial portion of their populace or GDP. We are the ones who are going down, and the white Western Christian nations right with us. So, don't know. Your thoughts, Mitch, on the idea of a war here, which will ruin the real estate, the population centers, cities would be ruined. Wouldn't it be better for an adversary to wait and then take this country with the real estate relatively intact and not irradiated so badly? What do you think?
Well, I was going to get to that when I talk about fallout.
Oh, okay.
Because that's
all
part
right.
of the mess. So part yeah. of the mess, the uranium mess, like uranium's being produced by Iran, there's a myth that uranium is going to be used on Israel, that uranium bomb. Well,
it's no, too inefficient.
That's
Understood.
Not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is for a terrorist attack, to pre-place that in a large Western city and detonate it, because it's easy to do, okay? And you can get it across the American border. You can get anything you want across the American border. Especially
yeah, just FedEx or okay. UPS, right?
Yeah, probably. So that's a lie they tell you about Iran's uranium. It's not an issue of attacking Israel. It's an issue of a terrorist attack. Okay. So and of course Israel can be attacked in the same way by a terrorist attack, and all you need is one bomb to wipe Israel out. Okay. So let's talk about fallout, because this is the scenario that everybody painted, that nuclear war would destroy all mankind because of this nuclear fallout. But let me explain how nuclear fallout happens, okay, how it's made, produced. So if you burst a bomb 1,000 feet up in the air, okay, the cone of destruction will go down, and it will wipe out, like, a diameter of 20 miles, say, or I should say a radius of 20 miles. Okay, so a diameter of 40 miles, a circle that big. If you put like a 20 megaton 1,000 feet up. Well, when the bomb goes off, there's this thing called initial radiation. Like when the bomb actually detonates, ionizing radiation goes out of that very rapidly. Okay, and when it strikes other particles, okay, it irradiates those particles. And it's those particles that are fallout. At 1,000 feet up in the air, you don't have a lot of particles, so it produces next to no fallout at all, okay? If you detonate a nuclear weapon on the surface of the Earth, okay, then what happens is a dust cloud is kicked up at the same time that this initial radiation goes off, and it irradiates all that dirt. That dirt goes up into the mushroom cloud, then the air currents above carry it downwind, and then it's heavier than air, so it falls, and that's your fallout.
Blanket. Yep.
So let's put it this way. If you're going to attack, like the United States, let's just say, you want to take out all the big cities, you want to put your bombs 1,000 feet up in the air so they do the maximum amount of damage to structures on the surface. And ideally, you don't want fallout, because fallout in New York could end up back in Russia or someplace, okay? But I'll talk about that in a minute, too. All right? So surface bursters only make a 20 megaton would make a radius of about a mile, okay, a crater. And then that's it. Outside that, there won't be that much destruction because the cone of destruction is going up. It's the same in the military. Like when you have incoming rounds or somebody throws a hand grenade, what you do is you face away from where it's coming, cross your legs to protect your vitals there. You open your mouth and hold your helmet on. Then you're opening your mouth to equalize the pressure because when the shell hits or the grenade blows up, all the force is going upwards in a cone. So if you're laying flat and away from it, you're less likely to get damaged by it. Soldiers used to learn this. I don't think they learn it anymore. But
it's like a tornado vortex going up, sort of, the force. That's what you're saying. Okay.
Right. It goes up. It doesn't go straight out. It goes up. So just laying flat gives you protection. Now, if you happen to be caught in the open when a nuclear blast goes off, you have to worry about the heat, thermal radiation. You have to worry about the light that pits off. But you can do things as simple as get into a culvert or get into a shady spot, like where there's a little hill or something, or even a creek bed or something where it gives you shade from the explosion. That will protect you from a nuclear explosion, okay? That's like, we're talking like that's over 20 miles away, though.
Well, here, okay, hold on. Here's a problem. How the hell are people going to know there's a nuclear flash about to occur? They don't. They can't spend all day laying in a creek. So what are we to do? We got a hot, and if there's a big flash, what are most people going to do? They're going to turn toward it, and what the hell is that? And a lot of them are going to get blinded. There are issues here. Go ahead.
And burn, seriously, burn too. The shadow will actually keep you from getting burned, okay? We're talking about away from the blast zone. It can still harm you, but if you're away, as soon as there's a big flash of light, you need to hit the ground, preferably where you have some shade from the direction of where the bomb has gone off, okay?
Got it.
So, so these ground bursters, Jeff, want to be used on hardened targets. Okay. Since we have said that we're not going to hit any cities, Russia has to make the calculation and China has to make the calculation. Do we take out the 450 Minutemen in the up in Montana and the Dakotas and stuff?
Half of which are out of service.
They're not going to really do much damage anyway. They might not even make it off the launch pad. Do do we waste nukes doing that? That's an issue they have to contend with, okay? So we're not contending with it. We're just sitting on them, letting them run, okay? So as you can see, the vast majority of nuclear weapons are not going to burst on the ground. They're going to burst in the air, and there won't be a big fallout problem, okay? But let's assume that there is a fallout problem. I mean, you might live in an area where you're downwind from a hardened target that may be hit with a ground burst weapon. So how do you deal with fallout? Well, you know, 1 foot of concrete will protect you from all the fallout, or 3 feet of packed earth will protect you from all the fallout. You just have to go underground, okay? How long do you have to deal with this fallout? Well, they have what they call the rule of sevens, okay? So so let's say a lethal dose of radiation is 600 rads. Let's say that the minute fallout starts falling, you have 600 rads, okay? So that's a lethal dose. But understand this. So you've run into your shelter, okay, and it's 600 rads outside, which is a fatal dose. But it's going to take you a minute to go out and get something you forgot and come back in. How much dose are you going to get in that 1 minute? You get 60 rads dose. And a rad is equivalent to about 1 x-ray, okay? So it's bad, but it's probably not going to kill you. It won't even make you sick, odds are.
Yeah, it's that thing of always forgetting to bring something in that's kind of blackly humorous. God, I forgot the gun. I forgot the rifles and the God damn.
So like if you go out for 1 minute, you're only exposed to 60 rads. Okay,
and that's how long after a blast. Mitchell, how long
They count it as 1 hour after, because they figure that the fallout's going to start hitting the earth about an hour after the blast. That's why they call it H plus 1 hour, or H plus one. And that's when you start counting your radiation. So say it's 600 rads at H plus one. 7 hours later, there will be only 60 rads of radiation, okay? That means if you went out for a minute, you only get 6 rads of exposure. So if you're going to wait, if you're going to run out to get your guns or your game console or something, wait for 7 hours, and you can spend several minutes to go get your stuff that you forgot. Okay, in 49 hours, that'll be down to 6 rads, and then 7 times 49 hours, which is about 2 weeks, you have 0.6 rads. And then every multiple of 7, it goes down by a factor of 10. So this fallout that falls on the earth, it's not like the fallout is going to be radioactive forever. It's not. It decays. It has a half-life. Radioactive means that it decays. It doesn't stay the same. There are some isotopes that last for a long time. That would be like cobalt, something like that. Now, they will put that in bombs. They call that salting bombs, okay? And they put stuff in that it has a longer half-life so that it will make an area unlivable for a while. But that's just an idea. Nobody actually, it's not a useful idea.
Can they make now, Mitchell, do they have the technical and scientific expertise to make a bomb with a half-life that is only a year or two? That's real short, so they can come in and occupy the territory rather than wait 20, 30 years. They can come in quicker? Or is that something that doesn't
happen?
They
can come in right away. I mean, that used to be my job, is to figure out exactly, you know, the go time to go in and occupy an area that we nuked with fallout. Okay. And that depends on what kind of shielding you have, like tanks, metal vehicles. They're resistant to radiation, okay? They're iron, so you can go in and start occupying right away. You don't really have to wait. So the fallout, the nuclear winter is nonsense. The fallout isn't going to cover the skies forever, because that is taken into account. If every single nuclear warhead was a surface burst, you might get that effect. But vast majority, 99% of nuclear weapons will be airbursters, and they will not create fallout.
Right. Interesting. So, airbursts, so much more bang for your buck. Far, far, far more, as you've explained.
Right.
So, dirty bombs on the ground, no sense. Go ahead.
They intend to nuke our major cities and stuff. Actually, China only has 300 ICBMs. And they have far more nuclear weapons, but of ICBMs, they only have 300. And none of them are hypersonic. But at any rate, all they need to destroy America is 5 nukes. If they nuke Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, Houston, in Washington, D.C., within a year, 90% of Americans will be dead, and our power is gone. Washington, D.C. for command and control, New York City for finance, Chicago for food distribution, Houston for oil and fuel distribution, and what was the other city I said? So Chicago, Houston, New York City, Washington, D.C. Oh, and if they hit the port of Long Beach, California, that's our major container port in the United States.
Right.
And that'll stop trade. So it'll impede any goods coming into the country. So there you have it. Five targets, and they can destroy our country forever.
And don't forget two or three EMPs to start things off.
Oh, yes. They'll probably, the first thing that'll go off would be an EMP in the sky. That could be a warning. That could let you know, because you'll notice that. Now, the EMP weapon goes up over 100 miles in the air, because the current destruction has to hit the whole country. But if you put one over the center of the United States, which is in Kansas somewhere, what will happen is that EMP will fry all circuits all across the United States. That's a 100 megaton explosion. But if you're directly below that explosion, you're not going to get hurt. It won't physically damage you or anything around you, because all the force is dissipated up in the atmosphere. And it's come down as an electromagnetic pulse to wipe out our electronics and stuff. Okay? So EMP is a giver. That's why they talked to our military into buying all this computerized stuff and to make everything electronic. I had this fight when I was an officer, an armored cavalry officer. I kept saying, when they said, oh, look how wonderful these computers and everything. This is back in like 1986, 87. And I said, well, you know, didn't you have to take that course on Soviet radio-electronic warfare? They said, yeah. And I said, well, in view of what you learned in there, which I can't repeat, it's top secret, I said, why would you want to install these electronics and everything? Okay, it's just, they'll be fried. It'll be gone in the first 60 seconds of a war. Okay, not a war against illiterate, pedophile, bestialist Taliban, but a war against a power like China or Russia. Our electronics will be fried in less than 60 seconds. So all that advantage we have is gone. All that electronics, all that money we poured into the big tech industries that now oppress us and censor us.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we respond, and we're supposedly now bound to absorb a first strike, if we respond, will we respond with EMP followed by regular plutonium weaponry? Boom, boom, boom.
No, we'll just respond because, see, we can't hurt people. So we're just going to respond by blowing something up. I don't know what. Probably airburst. Yeah. But you have to remember this also. Do you realize when I was born, the United States of America had 125 million people. Now it has 350 million people. Okay, when I was born, Russia had 300 million people. Now it only has 150 million people.
Okay? Yeah, interesting.
So the thing with Russia is that Russia has twice the territory of the United States with only half the population. So right there, Russia has an advantage in any nuclear war. It has space. It can trade space for time. Okay. Also, the Russians, they actually practice evacuating their cities. They can evacuate a city of 5 million in 30 minutes. They're that good. They practice it. They actually practice it.
You know, let me say one thing that you... Hold on. This is important, and it underscores what you're saying. Russia has never stopped building for civil defense. They can literally put... I've read the entire population, the meaningful population of Moscow, in underground shelters within an hour to an hour and a half, or something like some short period of time. They have they ring the city with underground facilities full of food, water, provisions, supplies, sewage, sanitation, doctors, you name it. They've done this for their people, and Moscow's not the only city. What have we done? Nothing. We're worthless. We're totally expendable. No one gives a damn over here about us.
Right. Russia can, they have enough fallout shelters and bomb shelters for 80% of their population, stocked with food, medicine,
80%.
And
wow.
Water. 80%. And the other 20% probably live in areas, you know, like out somewhere in Siberia where it doesn't matter. Okay, it's not going to affect them. They may not even get the news of the nuclear war until months later, you know. The thing is you have to remember that most of it's going to be airborne, so you're not going to really have fallout in most places. Like, for example, where you are, you can forget about fallout. It's not going to happen. Okay.
That's why I moved
and
here.
Even if there is fallout, remember the rule of sevens. Every 7 hours, the fallout decreases by a factor of 10. Okay, so it's not a permanent state of things. Even when the fallout gets pretty low, like in the 0.06 range or something, you might want to sleep in shelter or something, just because it's a time exposure thing. It's like it's your dose is how much time
it accumulates. Understood.
Exposed to the fallout.
Yep.
So, the United States, by the way, has shelter, food, and water and medicine for 0.05% of its population. Basically, Congress, the government, some staffers, some military people. Not even all the military people are going to be protected. America's peoples are expendable. It's only the elites that run this country that are not expendable, in their view. And not only that, but this is as old as God. It's like if a problem is too expensive to deal with, then just ignore that it exists. Don't talk about it. Put it out of everybody's mind. Then nobody worries about it. But my message to the people is, if there's a nuclear war, you are on your own. Okay? If the government comes to help you, they're coming to screw you over. They're not coming to help you. I assure you that right now. So you see, Russia is concerned about their people. They want to protect their people. They have always done. It used to be that we would watch for them evacuating their cities as like, oh, this means that we're about to go to nuclear war. Okay. But what we did during the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union is we had a 48-hour rule. And that was we made a deal that we would talk 48 hours before we get nuclear. Okay, we had very open communications and direct communication between our president and theirs. Okay, now we have all these nuclear powers, and we have no mechanism for Russia or for China to avoid a nuclear war. None at all. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. There's nobody to talk to. Nobody will pick up the phone. Okay, so there's no way to avert a nuclear war. Back then, it worked very well. For example, in the 73 Yom Kippur War, I was in a nuclear unit at the time, and we were on full alert. We were weapons free. We were ready to go. We were ready to fire. Okay, and what happened was the Soviets started flying troops and stuff into Syria, and they told the United States, they called up the U.S. and say, look, if Israel comes any closer, if they try to take Damascus, then it's nuclear war. Okay? And So the United States talked to Israel and said, look, you can't go all the way to Damascus or it'll be World War III. Okay, so Israel said, okay, well, we'll stop here. We only need the Golan Heights anyway. It's a very strategic area.
It's a huge area, too.
Would have been a pain in the butt for them.
Yeah.
But at least we were able to talk, because I remember that 48-hour period, because I remember the moment we went weapons-free to the moment when they said, okay, we're back to peace. Okay, you can deactivate everything. All right, so that system worked. We no longer have such a system. We don't have a system with Russia. We don't have a system with China. Certainly, you know, Israel is its own thing. Israel just denies everything they do, and they say nothing. And actually, what they do strategically and militarily is the smart thing to do. Don't tell people what you have. Don't tell people what you're going to do. And especially never tell people what you won't do. Which America violates all those rules. Those rules are laid down by Sun Tzu in his Art of War.
Never tell people what you won't do. Very good.
Never tell people what you won't do. I mean, even in a street fight, Jeff, you don't want to tell the other guy what you won't do. Say, look, we're going to fight, but you know what? I'm not going to hit below the belt. I'm not going to hit you in the face. I'm not going to do this. This would be a very stupid thing to do because you're going to lose that fight, okay?
It's already over.
Keep the impression up that you will do the maximum, that there is no boundaries to what you do, and that's how you win the fight. Okay.
What is this
guy? What you do in a street fight is what you do in a big fight.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
This guy, Austin, our defense honcho, is this guy as much of a turkey as I think he is, or is he worse?
He's worse of a turkey than you think he is. Like I said last time, he put the Navy on stand down for the 60 days that are most likely days that China would invade across the strait.
Yeah.
What a complete idiot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Totally. Well, there's what that's what PC appointments do, give you idiocy. All right. Thank you for that, Mitchell. Very good, as always.
You're very welcome.
Talk to you next week. All righty. Take care.
Take care.
Mitchell Henderson, a lot of information there, as always. We will be back with hour number 3 next.